Animal Central on cliffcentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday morning, time again for Animal Central. I'm your host for the next hour, Sharon Dale, and I'm joined by some amazing guests today. We're going to be speaking to Hester and Garrick from Beagle Rescue, and we've got special guest star in the studio today, little Gina, the beagle. And then we're going to talk to Dr. Clint about various issues that, you know, we've seen on Facebook the last couple of weeks, terrible accidents that have happened with dogs trying to chew bones and marrow bones. And, you know, the dangers of rawhide, that sort of thing. So we're going to talk about what the best treat is to feed your dog and the dangers of feeding your dog bones. And if we've got a little bit of time, we're also going to talk about skin conditions, because now going into spring, dogs are a little bit more prone to getting allergies and that sort of thing. But let's start off this morning. I must say, I'm so excited about the new Cliff Central app, because that means a lot more of you can listen to us. It is so easy. It's not going to cost you a fortune for data. It's so cheap, and you can download it directly from Google Play or iTunes. It's the Cliff Central app, so that means we should get a lot more animal friendly and animal angels listening to us. But let's start off and kick off. You know, we celebrated National Dog Day, which is such a great time, and we should celebrate Dog Day every single day. But it was a special day to consider all the dogs sitting in shelters, to look at the cruelty happening worldwide, and to make a pledge to adopt, to go out there, adopt. There's so many dogs in shelters all over the world. And if you can't adopt, then support in any way, whether it's visiting your shelter, going to take a few tins of dog food or bags of dog food, blankets, always useful, even newspapers. A lot of the shelters desperately need newspapers. And a great idea is to do a sort of, you know, get together in your office and once a month ask people to bring goodies in, get it all together, and go and take a trip. I'm sure the boss won't mind. Take a trip to a shelter near you and go and deliver it, just to see how appreciative these wonderful people are that take care of our animals. Will just leave you walking away with a real spring in your step. Other than that, you can donate via SMS. You can also donate directly into their bank accounts. Or what I love is that a lot of the shelters have sponsorships. So you can have a look. I know we posted one yesterday on Canine Zone Facebook page from Dora Bull. And you choose which little doggy's face appeals to you, and you sponsor that dog each month. That money will go to buying that dog food, you know, cover its medical bills, and in most cases, they will even give you feedback. So it's almost like you own the dog. You're sponsoring it, you're taking care of it, and it's perfect if you don't have space or if you're living in a flat or something like that. Another way is to share. Go on social media. This past week, in fact, it was my son's girlfriend's dog, was stolen out of her back garden. This was in Rand Park Ridge, where apparently there was a spate of dog thefts. At the end of the day, she posted onto Dogs Lost and Found. Short while afterwards, someone contacted them, and this little chihuahua was found all the way in Muldersdrift on a dirt road. It had obviously been stolen. What these guys do is they net them, or they hook them over the wall with one of those fishing gaffers, and then they take them into, you know, wherever the area where they're going to keep them in holding pens. They either sell them, or they sell them for dog fighting, or so the worst thing is they actually use them for food. So please, please, please keep your dogs safe. If you're not at home, put them inside. Keep them out of view from the street, especially people with little dogs, because they're so, so easy to steal. And then, of course, you know, education. That is the key. Get on Facebook. Speak to your friends. Speak to your family members. Educate your children in care of animals, whether it be a dog, a cat, a tortoise, you know, the weavers in your garden. Respect them, take care of them. And it starts where you teach your children how to do this. Now, moving on from that, in Canine Zone magazine, which is now on shelves, in every issue we look at a specific breed. Our last issue was the Schnauzer Rescue, which literally sold off the shelves. This issue we're looking at beagles, which are an amazing, amazing breed. And to talk about them, we have now got Hester Pisk. I hope I pronounced this right. Hester, it's Pesky Volo.
That's correct.
Right. And Garrick Wilson from Beagle Rescue. Welcome, guys. Thanks so much for coming today.
Thank you.
And thanks for bringing Gina. She's so well behaved. She's awesome. So let's start. Well, let's start. Tell us about Gina. Is she your own dog, Hester?
Gina's our own dog. We got her as a puppy. But she was 7 in April, mm-hmm. next April. So she's the only ever puppy I ever got.
Oh, okay.
At about a year old, I decided that puppies are not the greatest thing to have. Although everybody says, oh, they're the cutest
yes,
little beagle
are.
Pups. So we started looking for a friend for her. Unfortunately, in those days, there was no social media as great as it is today. Mm-hmm. So the only option I had was to troll Gumtrees and the OLXs. And came across a dog that was abandoned at a shelter, or at a kennel.
Yes.
Over December, people never picked him up, and they were just looking to find him a home. And that became our first rescue, and since then, yeah, they've just grown.
So that's where Beagle Rescue started?
It didn't then. That was about in 2012. In 2013, I found our Facebook page, Beagles in South Africa, and it was always people asking, I need to rehome my dog. And I just thought, yeah, I had a bit of extra time. I run my own recruitment company, so not that you really have extra time. But I thought, let me give it a go and try and help these people by saying to people, does anybody want a second dog? They're really great. You're not getting a problem dog. You are getting a good dog. And yeah, and so I became Miss Beagle Rescue. From there, it just snowballed into a huge, at the moment, 5-woman show.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Yeah, earlier this
5
year.
5-woman and Garrick.
And Garrick is our pillar post.
Yeah, I'm the driver too. So.
It always seems to start that way. We've had so many shelter founders in the studio over the last year that I've been doing the show. And it always seems to start with this passion. And then they kind of start small. And then the bug bites. And that's it. The rest is history.
Yeah.
So now let's start by talking about the Beagle. The Beagle is quite a popular dog in this country.
It is a very popular dog because of its size.
Mm.
I mean, more and more people have to downscale from big mansions
yes.
to much smaller gardens. Most complexes will only allow you to have one dog. Some complexes don't allow you to have any dogs. So more and more people are looking for a smaller, manageable dog. Security is a big thing. So people want something that can fit through a small doggy door in and out. I don't want a Great Dane
yes.
that, you know, you have to leave the whole door open for him the whole time. So they did become very popular. Unfortunately, movies like Cats and Dogs and all these
yes.
Snoopy movie coming out later this year is just going to cause a huge snowball effect. We know that every time a movie comes out with a specific
right,
breed.
Snoopy was a beagle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's coming out when? In December,
I think it's towards the end of this year. There's a Snoopy movie being launched in America, so...
And that's quite odd. I mean, I've heard that when they brought out 101 Dalmatians, everybody wanted a Dalmatian.
Yeah.
So the same thing with beagles.
Absolutely.
You
can
have people running
into the
shelters.
They're an awesome breed. If you've got the time and patience to sit with them, take them for walks, interact with them, play with them in the afternoons, they're definitely not a one dog. They don't fit in the only dog in a family.
Oh, so they do need friends.
So most of the rescues we do is by people phoning us saying, I'm looking for a friend for Lexi, I'm looking for a friend for Milo. So they want a second dog to keep these company. And I must admit, I very seldom allow anybody to adopt if they've never had a dog or if that's going to be the only dog.
Yes.
Because I just know it's coming out of an environment where it's not happy because it's on its own. So... putting in another environment. There's exceptions where someone might work from home or an elderly
yes,
couple.
Yes, the company's there.
The dog's got constant company. Yes. I would give them a single beagle, but they are companion dogs. They want to be part of the family. They don't want to sleep outside. They don't want to be left on their own 10, 12 hours a day.
Right.
Throw food over the fence when you feel like it. They
well, no,
quite demanding.
No dogs want that. You all too often you see people get a dog and they put it in the back garden. You know, as you say, put food down at night, and that's as far as they go. And dogs need companionship, not only of other dogs, but of the humans, of their pack leaders. And we were saying before we came in, we introduced Gina to Gareth, and he was saying he nearly got a beagle before he got little. He's little. I think it's a Cavalier King Charles, little Carl. So I think we need to twist his arm a little bit more to get a friend. Yes, definitely. And he said, do they not howl a lot? Is that a question you often ask?
You know, I've probably had about, between Garrick and myself, we probably had about 110 beagles through our house.
Wow.
Fostering them. Because I don't run a kennels, a facility on a plot where I have kennels where I can keep them. So each and every single beagle that needs to be fostered comes into the house.
Yes.
They sleep in our bedroom. They get a bed. They get a name. They get a tag. They get a collar. Mm. They get food. They get love. And I can just sometimes, within a week, you can see how this dog just changes.
Yes.
From a scared little fearful dog that comes in there, just they just flourish on love. And they just want to be
them in their eyes. Yeah. That I've seen some of these doggies that are just brought into shelters. They almost have no life. And you see when they adopted how their soul is sort of replenished. It's amazing to see. And Garrick, are you also a beagle fan? How many do you own? How did you get involved?
We live together, so I got involved.
So you had no choice.
I didn't have a choice. But I mean, I love dogs. I love beagles, especially. And yeah, I mean, they grow. You get attached to them. Yeah.
Yes.
So the first couple of beagles that we did was very, very difficult to give away. To your home, because you get attached to them. Mm. It's heartbreaking. But the biggest problem that we face is that people don't do research on a beagle. Beagles are very active. Classic symptoms would be the dig in the garden, that type of thing, just to start destroying things. We've actually called it a term now. We've named it you've been beagled.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you go on the website, you'll see.
I've seen that on your Facebook page.
Yeah.
All these people posting pictures of a couch destroyed.
That's with the absolute magic power of exploding cushions.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's never their
trees.
Fault.
No, it's always the cat next door, the cushion that just did it itself.
Yeah. No, for sure. Because I remember watching one of the episodes of The Dog Whisperer where these people were battling with their beagle. For that exact reason, it wasn't being exercised, it wasn't being used for what it's meant for. And it was a simple matter of, I remember he sort of laid a trail in the park so that the beagle could use its nose, and all the destructive behavior stopped because it was kept busy. Because essentially these are hounds, aren't they?
They want to work their nose. And that's why people say you take a beagle for a walk, it's your 5 minute, your 5 hour trip. It's like 15 hours because
they want
nose down and ears shut. I mean, there's just no way they can make both work at the same time. So, and that's why it's important to stimulate them and get them working. I mean, what Garrick often does is he just takes some food and he just sprinkles it in the grass, in the flower beds.
Yes,
and they love it.
It gives them something to do.
They sniff it out. They find it, and half an hour later, I see they still are. Sure, there must be one left here somewhere.
Yes.
We can try and find one more chunky that Dad might have left in the garden. And so people understand, our beagle's forever trying to eat the kids' food, or it's always on the counters. But that's where then people need to learn, put that stuff away. Put it out of the reach of a beagle. They will smell something that was in a bag.
Really?
5-6 months ago.
Are their noses, I mean, they're used for tracking, aren't they? They're used as scent towns still to this day.
Absolutely. Yep. The airports, if you go to big international airports, even Owatambo, they use them, sniffer dogs. They use them, agricultural department use them for sniffing out food products that come in parcels or bags.
Yes.
Most of the airports I've been to, they use beagles.
They're using beagles.
Yeah. Because of their nose. That's
because nothing. Of their nose. And they're not as scary as a big German shepherd coming to sniff your luggage. A lot of people get very nervous about that. And, I mean, because that was what they were bred for, isn't it? Originally, where did they come from? They were bred to hunt, weren't they?
Yeah, they were bred out of England. Bred as hunting dogs.
Yes.
And there's various combinations. There's like the foxhounds, which is sort of related to the beagle, which is a little bit taller, longer legs, similar looking to the beagle. And but they were foxhound. They were useful for hunting foxes.
So they need to be kept busy. And Garrick, I agree with what you say. So many times people don't do their research, and they go and they couch potatoes, and they'll go and get a border collie. It doesn't work. You're going to have problems. Or you are an active guy and you want to run with your dog, but you go and get a pug.
So it's so important to study the breed.
Yes. And see where they... where they came from, what they need to do.
Absolutely. Because, and people give them away saying, you know, I studied the breed, but I don't realize they're that active. Mm. And now we've got a two-year-old, and all it does, it eats the food out of the kid's hands the whole time, and it's chewing the dummies, and it's chewing the bottles. But it's going to do it. Whether you got a beagle puppy or a Great Dane puppy, puppies are puppies. That's what they do. So
and
people
need
to
be
learn.
Given a job, too. They need to be given something to do. And then, sadly... beagles have often been used in research.
That's our biggest gripe. Luckily, we don't have any breed testing facilities in South Africa. There is rumours that at Ornas de Poort they use them and things like that. They got a breeding facility there. We know about it. But it's ethical breeding. They bred for training vet students.
Right.
Just like doctors don't practice on plastic dolls and things, vets can't practice on... toy dogs.
Yes.
So they're not practiced on cruel things, but they need to learn how to spay a dog. They need to learn how to draw blood. They need to learn how to clean ears, how to clean anal sacs, all these horrible things that we take our dogs to the vet for. A vet needs to learn something.
Learn somewhere.
And unfortunately, the beagle's temperament is its downfall because it is so forgiving.
Shame.
I can see a beagle come in there, abused, kicked. We had a case recently. And, yeah...
they just forgive.
2-3 weeks later in a loving home, can't say it's a sand dog. Absolutely not a sand dog.
Because I know I follow a group in the United States that go around and they've got this huge campaign to go and free these beagles from
beagle
the
freedom.
Research.
Beagle freedom.
That's
freedom.
Right. Yeah. And I've watched some of the videos. It literally brings you to tears because some of these dogs have never walked on grass. They have never seen the sun. You know, they've been in these cages and you just see them. They come out and they, you know, they don't quite know what to do first. And then they just, you can see the joy of that freedom.
Absolutely.
But
and the article that you wrote in the latest Canine Zone about the Brits 10.
Yes.
A classic example of what happens in our own country.
Let's talk about the Brits 10. That was a huge story. This is one of these horrendous puppy mill situations again. So what was that? Brits 10 was a puppy mill?
It was a breeder.
Yes.
She supplied pet shops. We know who the breeder is. I've actually rescued one of her pups from Paradise Pets before. And she didn't breed the best quality, but there was always puppies available.
Yes.
Then on 16th of April, I got a call from Sonja and Johan van Wyk saying there's a woman selling her breeding facility. Beagles for sale, 4,000 rand for all 8 of them. I said, I don't care. Get in your car, go fetch them. I got there. The woman said, okay, well, I'll actually give you the other 2 as well. They're old, but you can have them thrown into the price. So please take all 10. Needless to say, it was just the other side of Brits. That's why they were called the Brits 10.
Yes. Okay.
They then came back. I went and fetched 6 the first night because I could only get 6 in my car.
Yes.
And probably within 2 hours, they each went to foster home.
Goodness.
The next day, the other 4 went into foster homes, of which 6 of them became foster failures.
Yes.
And the other 4 are in absolutely, absolutely loving homes.
That's fantastic.
And they varied anything from 4 to 8 years, the oldest being Molly, being 8. And yeah,
so
she was an absolute breeding machine.
Her breeding stock.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she actually said to us, you know, I can't give you all the paperwork, you know, who's had what. She didn't even know their names. 4 of them had names. The rest she just...
oh, my word.
She said they just were a number.
And same thing in cages.
Lifting.
Horrible.
They were in runs.
Yes.
So they had a bit of sand to run on, so they weren't locked. But there was 4 females per male. And then in the other run was 4 females and a male. So she would always know who the dad was outside the dogs. But
yes, but she wouldn't know.
She could say, well, I don't crossbreed them because it's, you know, but those 4 females were constantly pregnant on either side of the fence. Some of them, their teeth had, they lost quite a lot of teeth because they were constantly gnawing through the wire, trying to get out, trying to get away. But the beagle community was awesome. We donated, they contributed.
And was this something, did you post on your Facebook wall?
Yeah, we just said on our Facebook page, I could be standing coming forward. In.
Yeah.
Put some pictures, like, really, as we got them.
Yes.
I mean, if you look at Gina, shiny coat, glossy eyes, these dogs were dull. They were dull coats, dull eyes, covered in fleas.
Horrendous states.
Garrick bathed him. He can tell you what they look like when you bathed him. I was too emotional to bathe him. I was just pouring my heart out.
Oh, it just, you know, as I said, it was the other one that was bust a few weeks before that, I think, or maybe at the same time, the Schnauzer puppy mill.
After, sure.
And you look at those pictures and you cannot understand. And to me, it seems as though it's women running these puppy mills, which I don't get. Mm. Because if I look at my readership in Canine Zone and our friends on our Canine Zone wall, I always wonder, you know, and I say it's about 90% women that are going on these Facebook walls, reading the magazine. But then you'd think they'd know better than to start these puppy mills.
But it's an easy income.
Yeah.
So the husband's got a job, so I'll just stay at home and breed dogs. And I don't have to do anything for it. I don't have to dress up or go to an office. I just have to put the puppies in a box, drop them off at the vet shop.
Well,
and
you
collect
see, doesn't
my money.
It come down to that? I've more than once said that we need to stop. And I know Ban Animal Trading is doing their very best
to stop
the sale of puppies and kittens in pet stores. Not necessary. It must be stopped because 99.99% of those puppies come from puppy mills. Yeah. You might have the odd mess up with a backyard breed, you know, someone whose dog's fallen pregnant and had puppies, which again shouldn't happen. There is a thing called spaying and neutering. But people need to realize where these puppies come from. And I know it's emotional because you go, but if I don't take that puppy, what's going to happen to it? But the only way to stop it is to stop the chain, to not supply and demand. That's what it comes down to.
And I also say to people, now, you know, I've got nothing against somebody wanting a puppy. Everybody wants a puppy
absolutely.
At some stage. But then do your research. Go and see where the puppies are being bred.
Yes.
Go see the facilities.
Yes.
I mean, I've picked up dogs where breeders have phoned me and said, listen, I've got a dog that's come back after a year or two. Please come and fetch it because I can't do anything with it. I can't breed with it. Mm-hmm. Just come and fetch it. And you go there and it's, if I had to get a puppy from a woman like that or a person like that, I would get in my car and drive off. I would not support
absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely. I mean, in most cases, they meet you somewhere. Oh, and that was our beagle. She had something to say. That was great. I was actually going to ask you earlier on if we could make her talk.
They bark.
But I think that's the bottom line, is there are a lot of very good, reputable breeders who care about their dogs, who ensure that they go to the right homes and that type of thing. There's red flags. Don't buy from a pet store. Don't buy from a breeder who's going to meet you somewhere on the road that you can't come to their house
exactly.
and see the mom and dad. If you get to the house, look at the facilities.
See where they're kept.
Yeah, exactly.
Are they kept in little runs? Mm. And
because CUSA registration means nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Anyone can do that. Yeah. So that's not a stamp of approval that this is a good breeder.
And that's why I often get not specific beagle breeders, but not just other breeders. Says, oh, yeah, but my dogs are CUSA registered so that I don't get puppies that get returned.
Yes.
She doesn't know what gets returned 3, 4, 5 years down the line. I've had lots of CUSA beagles being returned to me. I've had breeders where I'd phone them and say, listen, your puppy, and they would just turn around and say, I'm not in the secondhand dog market. Do what you want
goodness
with it.
Goodness me.
They're not prepared to help.
So tell me, I mean, we ran the stories of the Brits 10. I mean, you were talking about Molly, and we've got these wonderful stories of these doggies that were adopted, that were foster fails. So go and get a copy to read out more about this. It's on shelves at Pick and Pay, C&A, Woolworths, and C&A. And just read about, you know, how these doggies' lives were turned around. But I have to ask, was there anything done with this? Was there a prosecution?
We got the SPCA involved. We got the SPCA to go and investigate, to go look at the premises and things like that. And I'm not sure if it's fortunate or unfortunate for us, but the fact that we've already removed the dogs off the premises, there was no evidence.
Yes.
She actually sold them, so it wasn't that there was cruelty, that they were beaten or tied up or anything like that. my passion for beagles was just so strong. I couldn't leave them there not knowing what's going to happen with them.
You see, I mean, this is, at the end of the day, I think more and more of these puppy mills are being bust. Which is fantastic. And I think people like yourselves, you know, really, I always call you guys animal angels, because you really do so much to help these dogs. And do you need help? How can our listeners, can they donate? Can they volunteer? What do they do if they want to adopt or foster a beagle from you?
Most certainly. We've got an email address, beaglers for rescue and support, beaglers@gmail.com. We've got a Facebook page, Beagles in South Africa. Also got a Beagle website, beagles.co.za. So they can send a mail to that Beagle email address. I can send them a foster application, an adoption application, and sadly a surrender application.
Yes.
There's lots of people that's got Beagles that's got problems, but they're just scared to ask for help.
Okay.
So if they feel less guilty
help them.
Dropping it at the SPCA.
Yes.
I said, rather contact me. Let me take the dog. Let me help you. I'll tell you where the dog's going to if you want to know. And you've got that peace of mind that it's going to a good, loving home.
Right. No, because absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of people that immigrate and moving and they can't. There's always a way, you know, get hold of the shelters and get hold of, you know, people who can help you. And I assume you have a lot of beagles up for adoption right now?
Yeah, we do. Let me just give you a quick rundown of how many figures. In 2014, we did 105 beagles rehomed. 2015 thus far is 118.
Wow.
So, and there's still six in the system that still needs a home.
That's besides the one that was surrendered this morning.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So, you know, we've got foster homes. People are willing to look after them, feed them until they go to their new forever home.
Right.
We've got four ladies that's helping us, Retta van der Walt, Shelley Walsh, Antoinette Cook, and Jenna Pearl White. They assist us with all the admin because it was just getting too much.
Yes.
You know, we both work full time, so. And you do this because you love doing it.
Because you love doing it.
So,
but that's great figures to see how many is getting adopted.
So, you know, at least we have people that are willing to assist and always. But we're always looking for new homes.
No, absolutely. And they're such wonderful dogs. Yeah. I mean, Gina has been so well behaved. We're going to post some pictures later on the Facebook page. And we're going to end there by just saying thank you so much. I know Rieta was supposed to come in today as well, but she's not well. Thank you for what you do. And if Canine Zone can ever help you in any way, please give us a shout, because I think the more we spread this message and the more we educate people, the more of a difference
absolutely.
We can make. So really, thank you so much, Garrick. Thanks again, Hester, for coming through. And we're going to take a short break and we'll be back with Dr. Clint after this.
Flying fish now has even more flavor.
More flavor.
Huh?
Hey!
What you doing?
Bring even more flavor.
All right. Introducing new chilled green apple.
Chilled green apple.
It's a beer with all the bitterness brewed out and green apple flavor brewed in.
I said the flavor's brewed in.
Go on. Add some flavor.
Don't mind if I do.
Enjoy responsibly. Not for sale to persons under the age of 18.
Animal Central on cliffcentral.com.
And we're back, this time with Dr. Clint Austin from Bayer. Dr. Clint, thank you. You've been our resident vet now for a long time. It's always great to have
you in
the studio.
Has it been that long already?
Well, I've been doing this now for a year. I can't believe it. Time has just flown so fast. And now you've been with us for quite a while.
It's been a while now. Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. So we want to ask Dr. Clint about healthy treats for dogs. And remember that you can call us on 0861 555 189. Or you can send us a message on WeChat and so that Dr. Clint can answer your question. Now, I've seen a lot of horrible posts this week of dogs with bones stuck in their teeth, down their throat. And people have got into a bit of a panic to say, what should you actually give your dogs as a treat? I know that what I do very occasionally is I'll go and get one of those really big marrow bones and I'll give that to them so that they can't, look, I've got power breeds, so that they can't chew those little ones down. How dangerous is, giving your dog a bone.
Yeah, look, I'm going to be honest with you. My opinion is that dogs have got no place in a dog's bones have got yes. no place in a dog's diet whatsoever.
Really?
They really don't. They end up breaking dogs' teeth.
Mm-hmm.
They get stuck. They can possibly choke on them, and you'll cough up for surgery to have bones removed from the dog's stomach once. It can be a hell of a lot of money. That being said, dogs enjoy the bones. They're nice. So I think you've got the right idea. If you're going to give them a bone, give them one of those big soup bones that they can't crunch into tiny little pieces and swallow. And once it starts getting, you know, like chipped and it's not something you leave with them until it finally disappears. It's something you give them as a treat. And when they're done with it, you take it away and you throw it away. Yeah.
Because it is very easy for those, especially if they crack and those sharp pieces to get
absolutely.
Stuck in their
teeth. Absolutely, and that's it. Those bones splinter and they shatter. Those sharp the shards can penetrate the gums. They can penetrate the stomach, the esophagus, anything like that. And this myth that bones keep a dog's teeth clean is nonsense.
Oh, really?
If there was a magic food that kept dogs' teeth clean, we'd be eating it as well on
so
a
it's
daily
not,
basis.
You've got to do it. I've heard that you know they need it to keep their teeth clean.
No.
I'm
I think
sure
the I think the disadvantage
the same thing.
Actually, the disadvantages far outweigh any possible benefits.
Really?
But that being said, I mean, the dogs enjoy it. They do enjoy it. So if you've got a dog that enjoys bones, give them a big, decent-sized one that they can't crunch into small pieces and swallow, and it is a treat which gets taken away again once they're done with
starting to
absolutely.
Sort of
look a little bit suspect.
Disintegrate. Because I've even seen those massive, big, I think they're
ostrich-sized. Yeah, I've seen those.
Yes, or something like that.
Yeah, I have seen those, and they seem to quite enjoy them too.
Yeah, I've never bought one because they kind of look a bit gross.
They don't smell so great either.
No, this is the other thing, is those hooves and the raw-eyed products. They smell horrendous,
they
but
do.
I've also heard a lot of negative around those
products. Yeah, hooves I think are less of an issue unless you've now got a big dog who could quite possibly swallow that hoof by accident.
Mine
he can inhale
it. Yes,
exactly. And remember the top of the hoof, it's actually quite a sharp edge.
Yes,
so as they chew it, it can sort of shoot up between the teeth and hurt the gum. Mm. So, and those hooves, once they become soft and soggy, if the dogs do manage to swallow and they form like a really pulpy mess in the stomach, which is not ideal either. But that being said, they enjoy the hooves. I'll give my dogs hooves on occasion, but I watch them and I take them away.
Yes.
Their breath is not fabulous.
No, it's not great. It's
so,
not great. In fact, the whole area they're in is not great.
Yeah. And then rawhide chews, I will be honest, in my time in Prac, I have had some issues with rawhide chews, particularly where the rawhide chew that's being given is too small. The rawhide chew has got that knot on the end of it.
Yes.
And that knot is, it's a perfect wedge shape. And I actually had two dogs where they somehow, this thing managed to get past the back of their teeth and actually got lodged sort of
in the back part.
Yeah, and they succumbed to that. So just bear in mind, anything that you're going to give your dog to chew, ask yourself the question, can my dog possibly inhale this? Can it get stuck?
Yes.
Is it going to cause potential problems? And the same goes for toys. Any toys that you're going to be giving to your dogs.
Right. I actually know of somebody whose little puppy, bless you, Duncan. I had to bless him because he's my producer here and he had a good old sneeze. Her little puppy chewed a little minion toy from Mickey D's and was in hospital, enemas, huge cost to go and get that out. I mean, this little one ate the stuffing, everything.
I don't underestimate them. I mean, bull terriers are particularly funny for some reason. I mean, I had a dog, I think we removed 12 dummies, children's dummies, pacifiers out of its stomach. This dog had a thing for dummies and used to eat them left, right, and the owners just thought they were disappearing. They couldn't understand until we took them out of their dog's stomach.
So you actually had to operate and remove them.
That's it. Yeah, dogs and dogs sometimes they develop a funny fetish for kind of things like that.
Yes.
You know, one's got to be aware of it. So again, you know, I don't want to vilify any particular toy or treat or anything like that, but just be very conscious of what you're giving your dogs to play with and what the potential consequences may be.
Yes, and as you say, a huge cost and possibly your dog could, you know, not make it through that.
Correct.
And you're quite right. I do smile because I own a bull terrier and they're not called, what are the Afrikaans? They call them a varkhond. It's so irrelevant because these dogs eat anything.
It's unbelievable.
And she has never got into trouble. I'm surprised she hasn't, because she's eaten little toy soldiers. She has eaten superhero figures. Yeah. She has eaten, if it's something there and she can eat it, she will. That's why I'm very careful. I don't give them rawhide or anything.
And your dogs have
like
got
that.
A fairly robust digestive tract. I mean, and again, that's another argument that gets thrown to me. So, well, dogs out in the wild have been eating bones for years, and it's not a problem. That's great. But your average sort of wild dog, his average lifespan is about 4 years.
Right.
Okay, and if you look at our dogs, an average age of a large breed dog in South Africa is 8 or 9 years.
Yes.
And they only get one set of choppers, which, you know, you've got to try and look after for their entire lifespan.
Right, exactly.
So, and that, you know, that can lead us to all sorts of things like dental care. There's a lot of toys out in the market that claim to keep dogs clean and assist with dental care. And that might be true. They might help. But it goes back to my statement earlier. If there was a magic food or a magic toy that could keep their teeth clean, we'd be eating it too. There is no substitute for daily brushing.
Sure.
And there's no reason why you shouldn't brush your dog's teeth on a daily basis.
No, absolutely. And I think even, I'm not going to mention any brands, as you say, you don't want, we don't want to sort of talk about any specific brand, but I know there is something out there claiming that. But it's the same principle as one of those rawhide chews, is that I have tried them on my dogs. And one bite, they're in half, and then you think, well, where's that going to go? Because a bigger dog swallows.
Yeah. Look, again, and some people don't have the time or just can't brush their dog's teeth daily, great. But then you're going to be, you should be visiting the vet at least once to twice a year for a dental scale
to
and
get
polish.
A tooth cleaner.
And again, the chew toys help, they can assist. But the same rules that apply to your own teeth apply to your dog's teeth.
Yes.
Which means within 12 hours, you've got plaque on your teeth. Within 24 hours, that plaque hardens to calculus or tartar, which cannot be brushed away.
Okay.
So if you want to be really, really serious, you can teach your dog from a young age to get used to and accept brushing.
Yes.
Dogs don't like the minty, foamy toothpaste that we like, but there are various beef and other flavored toothpaste or gels, dental gels available on the market that don't foam. And you can happily use those on a daily basis.
So you actually get beef-flavored toothpaste?
Absolutely.
That's incredible. Maybe I should swap my husband's toothpaste and see if he knows. But, you know, I mean, dogs do obviously like to sit and gnaw on something. I mean, I found some wonderful products out there that they can sit and chew on for a long time and play with, and they don't disintegrate.
Exactly.
I know there's a product out now that's made, is it from Elkhorn? Something like that, that people are really, because it doesn't break down. So I think people just really need to be careful and big dog, don't give it a tiny little chew.
And differentiate between toys, which are toys which you're going to leave with your dog, and reward toys. All right, reward toys sit in the cupboard. You get home, you take a reward toy out the cupboard, you play with them, and you know, once you're done with the playtime, the reward toy gets packed away
again. Gets put away.
And those are the toys, things like ropes, again, chews, things which may disintegrate, which may be ingested, which may be a problem. You know, dogs get bored. You leave them alone, they're going to chew something to pieces, and eventually something's going to, you know, they're going to ingest something. So important to differentiate as well. There's toys which are safe, or chew toys which are safe to leave with your dogs, which occupy their time, divert their attention, prevent destructive behavior. And then there are reward toys, which are designed for you to spend some quality time with your pet.
Yes.
When you're done, it gets taken away and put back in the cupboard.
So that they
again
don't lose that specialness.
Correct.
And say, for example, and I've seen lots of pictures put up on social media where they've come home and the couch has been eaten and the stuffing is gone. How dangerous, if you come home now and you find that, do you need to get your dog to the vet? Do they pass it through?
I wouldn't just, you know, if you get home, and let's take that classic picture you're talking about of this couch that looks like a hand grenade has gone off in it.
And the exploding
dog,
pillow.
And the dog looking very innocent next to that. It wasn't me. It's not to say, you know, I need to immediately rush off to the vet unless there's a very strong suspicion that the dog has ingested this stuff. You know, sometimes these fillers can be toxic. Sometimes they are space occupying. They can block up the intestine and that kind of thing. So I would just watch very carefully for intestinal symptoms, including vomiting, going off their food, or any kind of constipation or diarrhea.
Okay.
And that's an indication of, look, maybe we should just go to the vet and try and see what's going on here. Remember, a lot of these things are not going to be visible on x-rays. Foam,
really?
And that kind of foam stuffing is not going to show up on x-rays.
Yes.
So, you know, and even on ultrasound is very, very difficult, because a lot of the gut has got gas in it, and ultrasound and gas aren't friends.
Okay.
So I think, you know, if you get home to an incident like that, just watch your dog carefully.
Yes.
Unless you, I mean, if you're sure that some of this has gone down, in other words, half the stuffing is missing, then maybe there's a suspicion. But then also you need to address that underlying cause. You know, that kind of destructive behavior is either boredom or it's separation anxiety,
correct.
Usually.
Yes. And now what if you got a puppy and you physically see it swallowing a toy or something, a bottle cap or something it shouldn't be swallowing?
I don't take a chance.
Just straight to the vet?
And your vet will maybe take an x-ray or evaluate it. Your vet may decide, look, let's see if this thing passes by itself. Mm. But anything that has got sharp edges, serrated edges, is going to cause a lot of trauma as it moves through the gut. Remember, it's going to scratch, it might poke through, it might perforate. Oh. Now, perforation is a disaster. And then you end up with peritonitis. So your vet might say, listen, I'm not comfortable leaving this thing here. Let's go and get it. And then you're in for surgery, for a laparotomy, and to get that thing out, but then at least it's done. But again, you can prevent all of this just by being very aware of what you leave lying around. The number of Sassati sticks that I've taken out of dogs. Because what happens is Sassati's lying on the braai, absolutely. Yes. They don't know there's a stick in it. They see meat, and particularly large breed dogs just inhale those things. Don't bother to chew it.
They don't chew.
Anything like my moronic Great Dane. And that's it. Sassati stick goes down. Now, that thing, remember, will not show up on an x-ray. So that Sassati stick penetrates the stomach, the gut, and it starts migrating through the abdomen. Oh. It's really, really bad news. So be aware, if you're braaiing, watch what your dogs are doing. Don't let them steal stuff off the fire. Sassati sticks. Mm. The Sassati sticks, even though they might not have meat on them, they taste nice. They smell nice. You leave it lying on the floor, dog's going to eat it.
Yes.
No, awareness. Absolutely. It's all about awareness.
And, you know, you often see people at braais just sort of throwing, you know, ribs, bones or chicken bones, which shatter so quickly. Yeah.
Chicken bones are problematic in that if they don't splinter, the calcium tends to get digested out of the chicken bone, leaving a very sort of cartilaginous mass behind, which becomes very jelly-like. Mm-hmm. And that can also cause blockages and all sorts of things. Well, chicken bones also a no-no.
What are the odds of the dog actually passing that through? Does it depend? Or do they need an enema or
You know what
surgery?
I would say? I think a lot of dogs probably, and I have this argument with my dad all the time, 9 out of 10 dogs will never have a problem. Mm. But that 1 out of 10 times that a bone gets stuck is going to cost you a lot of money and a lot of heartache.
Yes.
And there is the risk that your pet may die.
May die.
So why take the chance?
No, don't take the chance.
There's such a huge availability of appropriate things to give your dogs. Why take the chance of these things?
I think people think they're doing good. Oh, I'll give the dog a bone or a chicken wing or something like that. But it's not. I remember my Rottweilers, we're going back many years, my little girl Storm, I found her with a mango and she actually swallowed that whole mango pip.
Yeah.
And it was, we thought, okay, the vet said, just watch, let's see what happens. And as truth, Bob, that came out whole the next day. Yeah. It was
great,
fascinating.
Look
to
at the
see.
Size, the shape of a mango pip. You know, it's pretty round, it's got smooth edges.
It's not sharp.
So it lends itself to being passed through without incident. Mm. I don't think I'd enjoy passing a mango pip, in all honesty. But it came out.
Who would want
but
to?
Again, you look at something like a chop bone, a lamb chop, or a rib, or something that may potentially, it's got sharp edges, and as it moves through the gut, it's going to scrape, it's going to penetrate, it's going to cut the gut. It's really not a good idea.
And I think if you've got puppies, you really have to be super vigilant.
Absolutely.
That there isn't, especially if you've got puppies and children who are inclined to leave little cars on the floor
and
whatever.
I mean, we're focusing very strongly on dogs. Remember, cats like to play with all sorts of things as well. Cats and string. Linear foreign bodies in cats is a massive problem because they play with string, they play with wool, they ingest it. Now, what tends to happen is that stuff does not move through the gut. And what happens is as the gut tries to sort of shift the string along, the gut tends to sort of bunch up on the string, and it causes all sorts of dramas. So we mustn't forget about cats here
I heard of a cat that swallowed an elastic band. It was playing with a ball of elastic
that someone had made for
them and swallowed that elastic and had to get surgery for it.
Again, and those kind of things are not going to show up on x-rays. They're fairly difficult to diagnose.
So you literally have to go in, put them under anesthetic, open up and take out.
Correct.
What is the weirdest things you've ever seen that you've had to remove?
Well, we spoke earlier about dummies.
Yes.
Condoms.
Really?
Funnily enough, Sassati sticks.
Yes.
Grass horns that have migrated through the skin into the abdomen.
Grass horns.
Grass horns, AWNS. So as in assegai grass.
Yes.
And steerkras.
Okay.
Those kind of things that penetrate. So, you take all sorts of weird and wonderful things out of dogs and cats.
I know I watched a show, Bondi Vet, once.
Yes.
And he had to go in and remove, and it was a whole lot of little toy figurines that this dog had ingested.
I did go in and find a 120,000 rand wedding ring where the owner wasn't content to wait for it to pass in case she missed it.
Oh my goodness, she asked me please to go in and retrieve it.
So we found it. Took a bit of hunting, but we found it.
And I mean, after that surgery, is it quite safe? I mean,
it depends on the extent of the damage to the gut. Mm. You remember what's going to happen is now you're going to be opening up the gut, and the inside of the gut is essentially a dirty environment, which is now you're now exposing to the aseptic environment in the peritoneum, which is the gut cavity. So, you know, and if there's been a perforation, you've now had contamination all over the peritoneum, you've got peritonitis going on. So that's a worst case scenario. They can get really, really sick. Your simple cases, you know, you make a small, neat incision, you take it out, you stitch it up again, and they're back on their feet within a couple of days. You know, they do well. So it all just depends on what they've swallowed and, you know, what the extent of the trauma is and how much trauma you need to cause to get that thing out.
No, for sure. And I don't think it's breed specific. I mean, you know, all dogs like to find stuff to chew on and gnaw on. As I say, I with owning two power breed, a bull terrier and a pit bull, I know that their jaws are very strong and they can literally splinter and shatter anything. But I think what is the key here is to be vigilant and just don't do it. Don't give them bones. Don't give them, you know, as you say, unless it's something really big and robust, let them chew it until it gets mushy and then take it away.
There's always going to be horror stories on the internet with absolutely everything. The simple fact of the matter is phone your veterinarian. If you're concerned, you want to know, phone your vet.
No, absolutely. No, you don't want to go to that cost. I know this little puppy that I spoke about had to get enemas and all the stuffing and that came out. She was lucky because this is a little puppy. So that could have really turned out badly. So there's your tip for this week. Go and look around your house. Make sure there's nothing on your floor that your dog can eat. And make sure what you're giving them is treats. You know, give them bones. Ah, bones. Give them beanos. Give them, you get such amazing dog biscuits on the market right now, and some lost.
Be aware of any potential food allergies. If your dog's got a protein allergy, be aware of that. And maybe we could talk sometime about toxic plants in the garden.
We need to. And just before we leave you, just a quickie, spring is here, basically. Time to start looking at tick and flea prevention. Am I right?
Absolutely. You should be doing that all year round, not just in spring and summer.
Okay, but I mean, now is a good time if you haven't yet.
It's started to get warm. We're going to get our first rains, flea allergy, dermatitis, babesia, tick bite fever.
Yes.
The season is starting.
And it's very, very easy to prevent. Frontline, whatever you're using, Provecto, Bayer, any of those, they're easy, they're accessible, and, you know, go down, get some, and that's the way we do it. How do you recommend, I mean, are they all safe? Safe to use?
Absolutely. They wouldn't be on the market unless they were safe.
Okay.
Remember, products in South Africa have to be rigorously tested from an efficacy point of view and a safety point of view before you're allowed to sell them in South Africa.
Okay, now you, Bayer, you have got, your brands are?
We've got a number of brands which you can speak to your vet about. We've got a number of top spots from Advantage, and of course our Seresto collar, which lasts for 8 months. Okay. But your vet will be able to advise you on a suitable brand and a suitable product.
Okay. Dr. Clint, as usual, thanks so much. When we get you back again, I'd like to talk about allergies.
Absolutely.
Something that we also need to look at, especially this weather. And, you know, if you've got any questions or anything that you'd like to ask Dr. Clint, I'm always posting on our Facebook wall when he's going to be in studio again. So you can write down, send us, how often do you get free veterinary advice? So, you know, let us know what you'd like to know about. And that's about all we've got time for again this week. The hour just flew by. We'll be back again next week with some interesting guests, exciting news. We want to talk about gorilla rescue next week, which should be very, very interesting. So until I'm back with you again next Wednesday, go out and give all your pets a big hug from me. Thank you. Bye.
Animal Central on cliffcentral.com.